Everyone here?
Okay, good morning. This is the pre-hearing conference for appeals filed by the appellant Save Madison Valley of two decisions. The decision made by the director of the Seattle Department of Construction and Inspections on a land use application, which is record number 3020338, and an interpretation made by the same director related to the application and given SDCI project number 328345. My name is Barbara Dykes-Ehrlichman. I am the deputy hearing examiner, and I'll be presiding over this matter. I would first ask the parties to introduce yourselves on the record, and please spell your first and last names, starting over here.
I'm William Mills, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-M-I-L-L-S, for SDCI.
I'm Magda Hogness, M-A-G-D-A-H-O-G-M-E-S-S, and I am formerly with SDCI, currently with OPCD.
I'm Patrick Mullaney, an attorney from Foster Pepper, here on behalf of the applicant, and my last name is spelled M-U-L-L-A-N-E-Y.
My name is Jeremy Eckert. I'm an attorney from Foster Pepper, representing the applicant, Valmir. My last name is spelled E-C-K-E-R-T.
I am Geza DeGaulle, G-E-Z-A, D-E space, capital G-A-L-L, and I am the applicant, or Valmir Companies.
Over here.
I'm Tony Hacker, T-O-N-Y-H-A-C-K-E-R, with Save Madison Valley.
And my name is Claudia Newman, C-L-A-U-D-I-A-N-E-W-M-A-N, with the law firm Bricklin Newman, and I represent the appellant Save Madison Valley.
Thank you. So we're here to address scheduling and procedural matters in this case. Just for your reference, if you don't already know, our hearing examiner file numbers are MUP 18020, and then it's paren DR, comma W, which in paren means design review and SEPA. And then S-18-011, that's the land use interpretation case number. So before I get started with all the procedural matters, I would like to encourage parties to consider mediation, if that's a possibility, as an alternative to the hearing examiner process. Often mediation is much more flexible, less expensive, and parties can reach mutually agreeable solutions outside of the more formal strictures of the hearing examiner process. That being said, we don't provide mediators. However, we do have information on low-cost and no-cost mediation services that are available for land use cases. So if you would like to consider that, you can contact Elena Johnson, who's our legal assistant and who you've probably already gotten information from already. All right. So now what we need to do is set the hearing schedule along with any pre-hearing motion schedule and witness and exhibit list schedule. So in order to set the hearing, we need to hear about how many witnesses each side expects to be calling in this matter. And we'll start with the appellants.
Thank you, Claudia Newman. We anticipate having approximately 4 or 5 experts and 3-ish lay witnesses. It may vary, but there's quite a number of different issues associated that require experts.
Okay. Mr. Hacker?
Oh, he's with me.
He's
so, same okay. Answer.
All right. All right. Let's go over to the applicant.
Thank you, Madam Examiner. We anticipate approximately 7 expert witnesses and 4 lay witnesses.
Thank you. Is there any additional from the department?
Well, depending on who the other parties call, the department will likely have between 4 and 5 witnesses, which would be, they would be mostly, I think, entirely drawn from staff of the department.
Okay. Okay, so looks like we will need, I have to count, not always a good thing for a lawyer, but that looks like 25 or so witnesses. So I would say a full week at least for this. Do the parties anticipate pre-hearing motions as well?
Yes, Madam Examiner, we intend to file one.
Okay.
And we may have one, too.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. I think I am looking at possibly the last week in November as a possible time to schedule this, the 26th?
I would ask that we try to start on the 27th because I'll be flying back from New York on the 26th.
Okay.
If possible.
Possible. Well, we ordinarily schedule Monday through Thursday, but
that's also, I'm also unavailable on the 26th
okay.
of November.
I think we should probably skip to another week. That's not going to work out too well. Let's, how about the 10th, the week of the 10th of December? Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
All right.
They have all good experts.
So what I will do is, because I have a citations calendar on Thursday afternoons on that day, on the 13th, I will schedule it all day, every day for the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 14th, and from 9 to 12 on the 13th, and hopefully that'll give us enough time to get through it.
And excuse me, Madam Examiner, all day is typically what?
9 to 5.
Thank you.
Okay. So, is there any need for discovery at this point? I'm looking at the appellants right now.
It's potential, not extensive.
Okay. So it's probably not going to get in the way of dispositive motions.
Right. That's what I, if, and that's if the applicant agrees that it would be very limited.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think we need to see it, Madam Examiner, before we understand how limited it is and whether we're going to object to it or not.
Okay.
And I'd be curious to know if the applicant intends to do any either that may influence our.
Madam Examiner, we have today brought with us a motion to clarify the appeal statement. There are several places where there's just kind of a laundry list of alleged violations, and we'd like to get some specificity on those.
Okay.
So our need for discovery will be dependent on whether or not we can get the clarification that we're requesting in the motion.
Okay.
So, and I can hand that out now if that's okay.
Sure. That's fine.
It's directed at the appellant.
Thank you. Okay, so we have this motion, which we could schedule a response date for you since it's filed today for next week. Would the 20th work for you?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Mr. Mullaney, I'm assuming you'll want to have the opportunity to file a reply. You don't have to.
Yes, we would like, but we won't need much time.
Okay, so how about by 5 o'clock on the 25th?
That's fine. Thank
okay.
You.
Let's get our dispositive or pre-hearing motions, other pre-hearing motions, schedule worked out. I'd like to get those done as quickly as we can, recognizing you might need a little time. So how about October 5th as the opening filing date? Does that work?
Yes.
So the only thing with that, Madam Examiner, is if we aren't, I don't know when we'll get a ruling on the motion for more specificity in the appeal, and then assuming that if that were to be granted, I guess the appellants would need some time to actually come up with the specificity
right.
that was being requested, and we'd like to have that prior to the day we have to file our dispositive motion.
Okay. All right. Good point. Assuming I could rule on that, I'm sure I could rule on it within a week. How much time would you need, Ms. Newman, to actually
get
clarification if it were necessary?
For me to... say, but let's see, I'm just trying to catch up here. So the reply is due on the 25th.
Right.
And the ruling would be on October, the first week of October.
Right.
And could I then have a week to provide the clarification following that?
Okay. Yeah. So if it's necessary, we'll make that date October 12th.
That's the date for Ms. Newman to respond.
No, it's the date for her to actually, if I were to order them to clarify the issues, that would be the date they would need to file those clarifications.
I'm just trying to keep track.
I know. Believe me, I have to write this up later, so I'm trying to keep track too. All right. Okay, so there's that. And then... all right, so how about if we have October 19th as the opening date for dispositive motions?
That works for me.
Okay, does that work for...
Yes, Madam Examiner, that works.
Okay, and then seeing as there's a holiday in there, the response would be due... make it due on, oh, it's not a holiday, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong month. The 26th of October.
And these are dispositive motions?
Yeah.
So if these are motions to dismiss the entire appeal, a week might be... bit difficult, but we can, I guess I'm also cognizant of the fact that we're running up into the hearing date, but I just wanted to put that out there in case there's wiggle room.
Okay. Well, we have the hearing date scheduled in December, so I think mm-hmm. we're okay in terms of wiggle room. You know, we could have, instead of 7 days, we could make it 10 days if you don't object.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would have it be October 31st.
Okay. It's auspicious. I'll be wearing my costume when I'm
Yeah. And then reply, I would give a week till the 7th. Okay. Now, with the preliminary and final witness lists, I'd propose that the parties simply trade preliminary on the same date and then trade final on the same date. Does that work for
yes
everyone?
Yes, I guess just with a reservation for rebuttal witnesses, that would work. Us. I'm just thinking if somebody on the final list is different, somehow we might need to, either party might need to add or witness in rebuttal.
Okay.
But other than that, the concept of trading on the same day is fine.
Okay. So if we schedule backwards, let's see. So I think the 3rd would have to be the last day that somebody could list a rebuttal witness. So I'm going to give you probably a week or so to come up with a rebuttal witness if you need it. And that would be rebuttal witnesses only, not new ones.
Can I just clarify, I'm sorry, what rebuttal, when I think of rebuttal, I think of adding witnesses at the end for rebuttal for appellants. The appellants uh-huh. go first, and then the applicant goes second, and then the appellant has rebuttal at the end. Is this a
right.
different type of witness?
I think this might be a slightly different concept in that, I think the idea is if someone on the final witness list appears that either didn't appear on the preliminary or is a different expert than the one you named in the preliminary, there might be a need to substitute a different witness.
For your case in chief.
For the case in chief.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I did interpret that way, but I just wanted
okay.
to.
Okay. And I'm sorry I used that term. I just.
No.
I use
no,
it.
Yeah. I understand.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't actually apply. So. That's December 3rd. And then, so we'll have the final witness list due. How about November 20th? Would that work?
Mm-hmm. And would that be with exhibits?
With exhibits, yes. Exchange of exhibits.
On that subject, Madam Examiner, we were wondering what format if would you prefer for like numbering exhibits, or we were trying to figure out because there probably are a substantial amount that are already in DCI's files, mm-hmm. and we were trying to figure, well, do we say, for instance, there's a geotech report. Do we have 3 copies because they submit one, we submit one, and there's one in the file? Or does the department kind of give us a master list and then we supplement that with other documents? And if so, how would you like those documents designated?
I do think that's a good idea to have the department submit a list of the documents in the file, which then the parties can supplement. I suppose, I don't know if you give it numerals. Do you give your exhibits numbers just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 typically, or that's how we do it here?
Right. I mean, typically I would just prepare a witness and exhibit list.
Uh-huh.
And that exhibit list would list the documents we intend to use. I mean, there's, for example, large numbers of comment letters that are in the SDCI file. We wouldn't necessarily use them.
Uh-huh.
Other folks might want to use them, but
right.
You know.
Right. So you're not proposing to submit the entire file, in other words.
No. I mean, we typically wouldn't. I mean, that file is public record.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, anyone can go into it right now and see what's in there.
Right.
So I will say this. It's a little confusing that I don't believe every document that's available, I'm not certain that every document that's relevant is in the file on this project 3020338. There may be soils reports, et cetera, under, there's like a building permit. We'd be happy to provide a list of those
permits.
Numbers.
Yeah, exactly, because I found it, I will admit, a little confusing when I was preparing my code interpretation. Some of the documents that I refer to, I think, are listed under the building permit. So...
Okay.
But we could prepare a list of the documents we intend to use,
mm-hmm.
if that's helpful. maybe also say which projects are found under.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to provide something like that.
Okay.
And then the other parties could then also look at the rest of the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, typically what happens is, you know, we number things numerically, and usually the parties have different numbers than we do, and it gets kind of confusing. But I'm not sure how to rectify that.
I just want to say that I appreciate the request, because I've been making it at every pre-hearing conference in Seattle, and I'm willing to work and operate within the system that, you know, you're accustomed to and that is already set up, but it is difficult only because you have appellant's exhibit numbers and then you have new exhibit numbers that are assigned by the hearing examiner, and there's a lot of confusion during the hearing, but
right.
I don't know how to... And I do, one thing that is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this particularly useful for us is just to identify them and not provide the examiner with paper copies until the actual hearing when mm-hmm. you use them, which saves, if you don't, you just identify 180 documents, but you don't have to provide paper copies of all of those until the actual hearing, which is much better because then you're not making paper copies of documents that you may not ultimately use. So I do... That particular part of the process works really well for
mm-hmm.
for people who, you know.
Well, there is the possibility of doing a stipulated exhibit list to have at least the exhibits that you all agree on. There may not be all of them, but to have at least those numbered in a way that works for, is consistent with all three of you, and then we could adopt that same numbering system.
And we're not necessarily stipulating to them being entered, but rather just stipulating to the fact that they might be used at the hearing by one of the parties.
One solution might be, I've seen this done, Madam Examiner, is where you assign a number, a number that's kind of way out there for, say, the applicant numbers, their exhibits start with the number 400, for instance.
Okay.
Or the,
right.
The appellant starts at 800, and then, you know, mm-hmm. then we have the list and then the other two lists. Or you could do it where you just name, ours would be Velmir and theirs would be appellant, and we do 1, 2, 3, you know, so there's There'll be an Exhibit 1, and then there'll be a Velmir Exhibit 1, mm-hmm. potentially. But what I was more worried about, I mean, that's one issue. The other one that we were worried about is, for instance, there's three geotech reports, and they are, you know, they're several hundred pages each.
Yeah.
If the department submits a list with it, and we submit a list with it, and we got nine copies of the same.
But all we're doing is exchanging with each other, and the actual hard copy, and we can exchange electronic, and we could also agree that we don't need to exchange documents that we know we already have. And so that saves all of that. And then ultimately the only thing that becomes a hard copy or has to be produced as a hard copy is the document that's introduced during the hearing and handed to the examiner. And everyone has kind of prepared their own hard copies of exhibits. I don't know.
In this case, yeah. Because there is such a vast number of exhibits, it would be helpful. I mean, in the past, I've come to hearings like this with four copies of everything, mm-hmm. one for you and one for each of us. Mm-hmm. And if we could get by with one set of hard copy for you, and then maybe hard copies as needed, because we all have digital copies, that would be my preference in terms of, I think the department would like to minimize the paper if possible, but we would mm-hmm. do whatever you...
Yeah.
But I think if it's helpful, I mean, we can produce a preliminary witness and exhibit list that would list all the documents that we plan to use, many of which are going to be the same documents.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it seems to me that, I mean, I hear you in terms of the department's having to produce something like that that's numbered. And
okay.
If something's missing that somebody wants to use, I'm happy to help with that, or you can dig it out of the file or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if we could get that a little bit in advance of what we would then have to submit, then we could cull our lists down,
mm-hmm.
and that would avoid the duplication problem.
Right, and then I like your suggestion about the 400s and 800s. I'm fairly new here, so it makes sense to me, and
I have done that. The only thought I have is that I tend to list far more than I actually end up using, and so we would have, you know, exhibit 400 and then all of a sudden exhibit 410 if we stuck with
numbers. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it gets a little messy that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they are. That's right. They wouldn't be consecutive, although we'd know what they were, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it will help, though, if the department can come up with a list that, you know, seems reasonable in light of this appeal. And
sure, as a starting point, we
yeah.
can come up with that a few days before everybody else, if that's helpful,
mm-hmm.
in terms of a preliminary list, and then the final list would be developed from that.
Okay. As far as different numbers, you know, it's up to you. We'll probably end up having to assign those our consecutive numbers after we get the sort of agreed set of documents in.
Yeah, to Ms. Newman's point, it seems like whether or not we number them, you know, appellant one, appellant two, number three, there's going to be a list, and then the document submitted at the hearing isn't going to be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what we call them on our lists, we're going to have that problem.
Right.
However you want to do it is fine. I just was trying to avoid
yeah.
three exhibit ones.
Yes.
yeah. Okay. Well, we can certainly try the, you know, the V1 and the A1. If that is acceptable to you.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the department can just use your, just the numeral, so.
Perfect.
Okay. Where were we? So we need to set the preliminary witness and exhibit list date, and I would typically do that a month before the final is due. So I'd propose, well, we've got dates crowding up here, so we could say October, any date between the 15th and the 19th that week would work. I know you guys have other dates.
Well, if you want, like for the department to produce a list first, maybe October 15th, I don't know, and the other parties could read through my list. And
by the 19th, produce.
Okay, that works for me. All right. Well, I think we have this all covered. Is there anything else?
I'm just curious. I'm not sure if I have any. I don't have any in mind, but procedural motions, if there were mm-hmm. any, would they follow the same schedule as the
yes.
positive?
Okay. I think that would work, yeah.
Okay.
Too confusing to have yet another schedule.
Okay. But if some come up after that, would you allow them after we exchange exhibit lists and that are?
It depends on what they are.
I mean, right.
It's hard to say ahead
okay.
of time. I mean, if it's something you could have brought earlier, I mean, our rules allow motions at any time, but to have a pre-hearing motion too late in the process kind of mucks up the works.
Okay.
So,
okay. So for good cause or?
Yeah. So I would say generally if you could get those done before, I don't know, let's say November 15th.
Okay. Filed or?
Well, but I, good.
All right. I mean, if you want to keep it loose, that's okay with me. I shouldn't
not
lock us into.
Well, how about we say November 1st, and then it will follow the week. You know, the response would be in a week, and then a reply would be in 3 days. So if you file one, November 1st is the cutoff date for pre-hearing motions
okay.
procedurally. And November 8th would be the response date, and November 14th would be the reply date.
I had one other exhibit question, Madam Examiner. So if we have, I'm envisioning that some of our experts might prepare exhibits. If they would prepare something that isn't already in the record, I would understand listing that as an exhibit. But if they prepared a demonstrative exhibit, say it's a blow-up of the traffic count at an intersection or something that comes out of the traffic report, do you want something like that listed as another exhibit, even though it's really just demonstrative of something you already have? How would you prefer to deal with that?
No. You can bring in blow-ups of exhibits that are already in the record. Just refer to the record on your demonstrative exhibit.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's it.
All right, we'll be adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.